From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made more than 7 years ago when the town of Gates Police Department began using small video cameras now attached to officers' shirt pockets. Gates was well ahead of what has become a national conversation, and you could say a national trend. Other departments locally are considering using similar cameras and devices. What's the function of police body cameras? How do they work? What have the results been so far? We explore the debate and your questions about police cameras with our guests for this hour. Later this hour, we're going to hear from the Grease Police Department. We're going to hear from Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn of Monroe County. And in studio with us, we welcome Chief Jim Van Brederode from the Gates Police Department. Chief, nice to see you here.
Thank you, Evan.
Thanks for being here. And we also have Rochester City Councilman Matt Haig in studio. Matt, nice to see you.
Good to be back.
All right, let's start with this, Chief. It's been more than 7 years now. And in general, look, I know the average police day is a boring day. As you and I were talking before, there isn't a whole lot of material that you feel like you need. But over the past 7 years, how often have those cameras been needed and been useful for you in the department?
You know, on a typical eight-hour shift, you know, an officer might turn it on maybe 2 or 3 minutes during a typical shift. The officer has his discretion to turn it on when he thinks it's a good time to collect any potential evidence, statements from somebody, or they're in a situation which is about to get hostile, that's when they turn it on. So typically in an eight-hour shift, you might have 2 to 5 minutes worth of video.
2 to 5 minutes of video in an eight-hour shift, and look, every sort of department, I think, has different guidelines. Best I can tell, as we look across the country, there's a lot of discretion on how the cameras are used. First of all, fair to say, Chief?
Yes, there are different policies. Our policy is left up to the discretion of the officer because, you know, throughout the officer's day, they have discretion in all the decisions that they make. So we obviously trust them to put it on when they think it's necessary. And number two, the technology isn't quite there yet that you could videotape a full eight-hour shift and be able to store that realistically somewhere.
Okay, and before I turn over to Councilman Haig to talk about what Rochester's looking at, I'm already anticipating questions, people saying, well, look, if the officer can decide turning it on and off, shouldn't there be moments where the officer should have it on? And if they don't turn it on, then it's not a useful functioning tool.
Sure, that's a reasonable question, you know, that somebody might bring up. But I got to tell you, the majority of the citizens out there trust the police and have a great relationship with the police.
Yes.
And I think the ones that bring up that question, perhaps, are people that don't trust the police. Which, again, I think is a very small minority of people.
Councilman Haig, what's going on in Rochester right now? I know this has become, like I said, Gates 7 years. It's almost remarkable. I don't know of many departments that have been doing it that long. That's way ahead of the curve. Now let's talk about what Rochester's doing and what that conversation's like.
Yeah, I remarked the same thing to the chief that I had not realized until I read the article in the paper the other week that they've been doing it that long. Part of what we're doing in the city right now is examining this as an issue and how it can help our department better do their job. And whether that is, as the chief here said, you know, collecting evidence or involving in a hostile situation, as well as a tool to for people to better understand what's going on when an officer's out there in these challenging situations. Certainly, officers are being taped a lot now by average citizens on their smartphones and capturing that information, and that's certainly being released to the public. I think part of what, at least from my perspective, what we're looking at is not only how this can be a good tool for officers, but also a good community engagement tool. I have a feeling that there's a lot of situations that if we had it on visual evidence, what might be criticisms of the officer could be an understanding of a difficult situation that they're facing. So I think we're looking at it from a variety of purposes, why you would choose to use cameras, why you wouldn't. And also, I think we have to understand some of the technical issues that the chief here just mentioned, which is, you know, can we store several hundred officers who have eight-hour shifts? You know, can you have a camera on 8 hours a day, and what are you going to do with that? How can you physically store it? How could you actually have time to actually review everything that's going on. So I think those are some of the issues, as well as I think trying to better understand what some of the issues are that some people have raised in this community and communities across the country, which are issues of civil liberties and personal privacy, an officer entering the home with a camera on. Is it appropriate during situations related to domestic violence? Is it appropriate in just a simple interview or conversation with a business owner or somebody out on a street corner? Is it appropriate to be taping that? I think those are some of the things that I need to better understand, and what some of our policies as a result would be on whether or not we want to go forward with them and how we would use them.
Yeah, quite a difference in terms of Rochester's couple hundred officers. Chief, in Gates, you have how many officers?
30.
A little bit different, but still, even still, 30 officers and 8 hours a day would be unwieldy.
Right. Yes.
Fair to say?
Yes, it would be.
Okay. And occasionally you hear questions about, are there examples of video that have helped your officers? I mean, I think in many ways there is a question of whether complaints would go down. And in a moment, we're going to look at what other departments have experienced since using cameras. But if citizens know there is a potential camera, does that, Chief, in your view, does that help police say, look, I was potentially wrongfully accused of misbehavior, and here's the evidence? Is that a tool that can help officers?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. Up until all this recent publicity about it, it pretty much has been very few citizens have noticed that we have these things. So most citizens have not known that they were being tape recorded.
This is an old story for you.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, but now that it's on every network, you know, people are a little more conscientious of it. And now I ask us, you know, do you have a camera on you? So, but it's been a great tool. Again, you know, when it comes down to a citizen that's upset and starts making accusations against the officer, and have the video show exactly how that person was acting when they met the officer or had that problem with the officer.
So any estimate over the last 7 years how often you have been able to use video in tense situations to say, okay, this clears up certain behavior of people our officers were dealing with?
Probably 6 or 7 times, I would estimate.
So roughly even once a year is all it sounds like.
Right, out in Gates, about once a year, when we have an issue where somebody really comes in, and then you watch the tape, and it's like, well, here's the story.
Yeah, well, but for you, is that, if it's once a year, is it worth it? Or for you, it does sound like to me that, Chief, you still feel worth using the cameras.
It's a great asset for us. It's a great tool to protect the integrity of my department. And actually, the best cases have come on the criminal side, where we've actually have captured evidence, statements from a suspect. We've had more of those cases than the internal complaints about an officer's behavior.
We're talking to the Gates Police Chief about their use of police cameras, and Rochester City Councilman Matt Haig is on the line with us. Dave Campo, our engineer, you're going to have to tell me in my ear who's on the phone, and maybe if our pledge drive goes well, we'll improve Spark, which is our communication tool there. So let me grab a call first, and as we start to sift through this debate. This is Keith in Farmington. Keith, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I'm not too bad today, but I'm downtown Rochester. A couple of things. The cameras can be turned on when the officer says he's because they always call in their times to dispatch or their locations when they get out of the car or something. So they can be turned on then. But do they have dash cams? And if you're doing a traffic stop, you know, you park behind the car and everything is recorded on a dash cam and it's easily stored, but the body cameras could be turned on once they exit the car and then turned back off basically when they say they're back in service or something similar to that. But if it solves a lot of problems or stops constant allegations, it might be worth looking into. But then again, now you're going to have people know the cops have the cameras on, and they may change the way they do things.
Okay. Well, first of all, Chief, can you respond to some of that?
Yeah, you know, the problem, there's a couple of issues with the car cameras. Number one, they were $3,000 to $4,000 a piece. Number two, the only angle you were getting was out through the front windshield of the car. And number three, if you went inside someone's house or you were inside a business, you couldn't record anything that was going on. So when the body cam, really the technology came out around 2008, 2007, it obviously is much more versatile in capturing more incidents because you can carry it with you, and the price is anywhere between $700 and $1,000 for a camera. So, you know, the body cams have worked out a lot nicer than the car cams. And in fact, there weren't too many agencies in Monroe County that actually had the car cams cameras because of the cost involved. And again, the whole thing of storage and making it work in the cold weather and stuff like that.
Chief, where exactly, again, I mentioned lapel, but give me a quick description of what the camera kind of looks like. And
Our camera is about the size of a pager, those that remember pagers out there.
I do.
And
maybe just smaller than a business card.
Yeah, right. Okay. Just a little bit bigger than a business card, okay. And it clips right on the front of your shirt. You know, like where your tie would be, or you could use your pocket, and you just clip it right on there, and it's got audio and the visual.
Councilman Haig, when you hear that Gates is only really turning them on for 2 to 5 minutes in a shift, because, again, most of a police officer's shift is not confronting a hostile citizenry or dealing with interrogation, et cetera. But is that amenable to you? Are you comfortable, Councilman Haig, with the notion of the officers having the discretion of when to turn them on and off?
Yeah, I think that probably for a lot of people is probably the biggest debate, at least so far that I've heard within the city, of whether or not this should be a, you know, entire shift being with the camera being on versus at officer discretion. I've heard some people argue that by allowing it on at all times, it sort of takes that judgment out of the officer's hands, and it will record everything, and the officer couldn't be accused of trying to edit that which they're trying to tape. The flip side of this is there are situations that it may not be appropriate to tape, maybe counterproductive to the engagement of potential witnesses, or simply building stronger community relations. You know, folks may not want to talk to you about a situation a little further down their block if they know you're on camera. We already have challenges with police and community relations at times in the city. I think this can be a tool to help with that, but I think it's a tool that has to be used correctly. And I'm not so sure that an entire shift videotaping is exactly what we need. You know, no matter what the job is, at times I think employees are best used when they're allowed to use their judgment and discretion. And I think this just may need to be one of those. And I'm going to have to listen to people like the chief who've been using these for 6 or 7 years, as well as our own department and what our chief and our officers say they think would be used best, and balance that with what the community needs, which is, I think, a belief of our police system.
And let me just pose a scenario here before I bring in the sheriff. Patrick O'Flynn's going to join the conversation in just a moment here. A scenario in which, let's say you've got a year where you have two or three potentially very explosive incidents or confrontations, et cetera. And in each incident, well, the officer just didn't happen to turn on the camera. Then I think at that point, the public or city council or someone would say, look, we needed that, and the officer is sort of self-selecting an edit mm-hmm. there, and we may have to reevaluate the policy. But Chief Van Bredero, it doesn't seem, at least in Gates, that has happened.
Well, I'll backtrack a little bit. When we first got these things, you know, there's some training that has to go involved. You know, it's kind of like when we pull up on a scene, the first thing we do before we actually arrive is we start to take our seatbelt off so that we can get out of the car right away. And, you know, there is that level of training to make sure that you remember to quick reach your hand up and turn it on.
Yes.
Before you get caught up in the moment of all the action that's taking place in front of you. So, you know, we're only human, and those things do happen. You know, to say it's intentional, you know, is just kind of a stretch to say that maybe somebody intentionally didn't turn it on. So, but look, we've had incidents where, you know what, the officer didn't get it on in time, or we got the end of the incident, we didn't get the front of the incident. That has happened. But number two, right, some of the latest version, these cameras that are coming out have a 30-second pre-record. So even when you do turn it on, it might be a little bit late, you still get the last 30 seconds beforehand has been pre-recorded. So that's a nice feature, especially when something goes down in front of you. And Evan, I can't tell you how many times a crime will occur in front of us. People will start fighting in front of us. Things happen in front of the police all the time, and it's a great tool when you can capture it.
when it happens right in front of you and to turn it on, or then now to have this pre-record where 30 seconds before is already being recorded.
Yeah.
That's a great feature.
Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn from Monroe County is nice enough to take some time to join the conversation. Sheriff, thank you for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
Give me a sense for where your department stands. I know there had been discussion about kind of going doing a bit of a trial in Monroe County. Where do things stand with you?
Well, we had had the dash cams that one of the other callers was talking about. In the past, we had a grant from the insurance companies to use it for our traffic unit. And we saw some benefit there, but the expense back then, the technology wasn't quite as sophisticated as it is now. And then the storage of the video was just got very expensive to try to figure out a platform to be able to logically store it. But with the new technology, we, as the Gates Police and Chief Van Bredero has been talking, see an opportunity to use this new technology and to support investigations and our activities out on the patrol. I know a lot of people are sensitive to the fact that, oh, you want to make sure that it's on all the time. And it's just, I don't think it's practical. Plus, you also have sensitive investigations, and you have a rape case and interviews and or a situation involving a young person. To be recording constantly really doesn't make sense, and it could be detrimental to the investigation. So we're working out the strategies. We're right at the beginning stages of it by looking at the grant funding from the state coming in to be able to offset some of our costs locally. And we're looking at starting off as a pilot program with maybe 10 to 15 cameras in our traffic unit.
Do you get the sense, Sheriff O'Flynn, that this is just another, as Chief Van Bredero said, positive tool for police when it comes to community trust? For the most part, your department has, would you say, good relationships with the community, and this is a way to strengthen that further?
Oh, I think so. We're not looking at it as an opportunity to try to clear up a problem or to catch people doing something. Right now, we have staff assigned on a daily basis out there supporting the public and serving the public. And our confidence is that they're all doing the right things. Now, if something were to happen and we were to capture something, we would obviously investigate it and take whatever action is needed. But at this point, we're looking at it as an opportunity to use new technology to support our efforts and to make us more effective.
And Sheriff, let me ask you one more question, and I'll let you go. And I'll start by asking you and Chief Van Bredero from Gates as well. What? Give me a sense for what your officers expect or deal with when it comes to the community having their own cameras. I mean, everybody's phone is a camera now. It was not that way even a few years ago. So is there the sense that in many ways officers or deputies have to always expect that they're being recorded anyway?
Oh, you absolutely hit it right on the head. And it's not just individuals with cell phones recording. You got to remember, anywhere you go, businesses and even in parking lots and such, there's video being captured. And so everybody's got to expect that they're going to be captured on video, and their actions, they have to remain accountable for. So this is just to make sure that the individuals, in some of the cases we've had in the past where people have edited video and tried to claim that certain situations occurred, this will help be able to prove that this is the officer's viewpoint.
Sheriff, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn from Monroe County offering his perspective on the department there. And Chief Van Bredero, same kind of sentiment, do you have it when it comes to officers and the expectation that the community now simply has cameras everywhere?
Oh, that's everywhere. And, you know, what amazes me, like in my town, how many private residents have surveillance cameras on their homes. We're finding more and more times when we investigate a crime in a subdivision, a track, how many people have surveillance cameras on their homes, and it's assisted us with investigations. And everyone knows today that you're being pretty much videotaped, like the sheriff said, everywhere you go. But like the sheriff said, you know, a lot of times you only get a snippet of it, or you only catch the tail end of a situation where the police were using force, and you don't have what led up to it all. And that's what we're trying to clear up, is, you know, we've all seen the videos that are out there. You know, people putting their spin on it.
you're catching just a little snippet of what happened, and unfortunately that little snippet can cause a lot of damage to our reputations and our departments, and that's what we're trying to prevent. So we have the whole story, and we can show what led up to it.
Radley Balco is a writer for the Washington Post who has been, I think it's fair to say, tough on the notion of police behavior, et cetera. He has been consistently read. He's the author of a book called Rise of the Warrior Cop, and his concern is that police departments, if they have video, might not release it. He points to San Diego and an incident there where there was video of an incident, but local journalists had to file freedom of information requests and couldn't get a hold of it. And then the question is, if the video does exist, is there a mandate that the public could get access if they wanted it? So, Chief, again, I don't know that it's come up in Gates. I assume it probably hasn't. But if there is video, does the public have a right to the access to it?
Well, I can give you a quick scenario we had. We had an incident where we had to shoot a dog, and the dog didn't die. The dog subsequently passed away because the owner didn't want to pay the bill to have the dog fixed. But this was a story that took off and went viral. Different spins were put on it. The police shot this dog. It hadn't left its yard, and it was just this friendly dog that the police just shot for no reason. And once it went viral, we were getting phone calls from all over the country. People were, saying nasty things to us on the phone and threatening us and all this other stuff. So, there was a situation where, transparency is, in my view, sometimes can be very good to go ahead and release what you have so you can get your side of the story out. And public perception is a lot. Whether it's true or not, if the public perceives something, then that is true. So,
do you regret releasing that video of the officer shooting the dog?
No, it was great. It was great for us because here was the whole video. Where the dog had broken its chain, was running around the neighborhood, and it was a very, very large dog. It weighed more than the officer did, and we had prior tickets with that dog and the dog being vicious. So, and the video clearly showed the dog coming at the officer within 4 or 5 feet from the officer when the officer shot the dog. And that's just an animal story. So, you can imagine if we do ever get something controversial, where we'll have to play it by ear. But I'm on the side of leaning to just if you can release it without hurting a criminal case, we got nothing to hide. The police in Monroe County do a great job, and I think it's to our benefit to release anything that we might have that could be controversial if we can't legally.
Councilman Haig, where do you stand on whether police would be required to release video?
Yeah, I don't know what the involving the case specifically you referenced in San Diego. Perhaps the police had a reason for not releasing it because of tainting a jury or continuing an active investigation. But I think generally, withholding information from the public when the public is aware of a situation tends not to be helpful. It tends to further exacerbate a situation that perhaps could be simply dealt with by more information. We live in an age where we've all said it now, you're being taped or could be being taped at any point in time, whether it's the blue light camera at an intersection or Evan, your cell phone. I think it's harder and harder for people to believe somebody without being able to see the evidence. I think that's more and more of a challenge for us as a society, that unless you see it, you don't believe it. And so I think getting this kind of information and releasing it to the public goes a long way to continuing perhaps the most important thing that a police force and a community have, which is a mutual trust of one another. And anything we can do to further enhance that trust, I think, is important.
Let me read specifically from Balco's piece on San Diego, just to be clear. He covers the fact that there were two specific shootings in which there was footage, and the officers declined to release the footage. They claimed that a newsroom in San Diego called the San Diego Police Department and said the request for footage from the shootings under the California Public Records Act was being denied. Once footage becomes part of an investigation, the police department in San Diego says it does not have to release it because it is not public record. And The quote from San Diego Police Department spokesman Kevin Mayer said, quote, "We've had very positive feedback from the officers who are using body cameras in the field, but there are no policy changes to the releasing of evidence from body cameras. They are not public record." So that's the position there. It sounds to me like Chief Van Brederode, you know, your view is that it ought to be public record unless it hurts an investigation.
Yeah, I mean, if you have an officer involved shooting, you know, and it's going to go to a grand jury or something like that, then, you know, obviously it has to go through the court system first, or someone has to give us permission to release that. But I guess my stake in this as the police chief and my community is, you know, again, one of the reasons of this tool is to protect the integrity of my department. And if there's a controversial issue and I have a chance to show the other side, I certainly would love to do that and get it out there and be transparent.
Sure. And evidence is one thing, Councilman, but if a member of the Rochester community was talking to their councilman and said, "Hey, Councilman, hey, if they put cameras on police, is it going to be public record?" What would you say to that?
You know, I would have to say that for the most part it should be. I think, you know, again, an active investigation is one thing,
yep.
And you have to be very careful about that. And sometimes you have to take some hits by not releasing something because you're trying to get at the larger purpose and end result. But I think generally, one of the things we're trying to deal with as communities all across the country is that trust relationship between police and community. And anything we can do, and I think this is just one more tool in that tool chest that we can do, I think I side on that.
Let's take a break of less than 60 seconds, and when we come back, we're going to hear from the Grease Police Department. Earlier this hour, we heard from Monroe County Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn. We're going to hear from Grease Police as they look at the possibility of using police body cameras and some of your calls and comments as well. We're getting them online. You can join the conversation on Twitter, at Evan Dawson. You can call the program, 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. You're listening to Connections on member-supported public radio. Coming up in our second hour, "Our Work Is But Begun." That's the title of a new history of the University of Rochester. We go inside the history to find out why the campus moved in the early years and where it's going today. How did Western New York become a medical magnet? That and more as we explore U of R's history coming up next hour on Connections.
Puppies are warm, fuzzy, and for the pet stores that sell them, lucrative.
The puppies are the ones that pay the bills.
But many cities now have laws banning puppy sales.
All stores, 99% of them sell what's called puppy mill dogs.
Pet stores claim those puppies are raised humanely. That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4.
We're continuing the conversation this hour with Rochester City Councilman Matt Haig and Chief Jim Van Brederode of the Gates Police Department. They've had police body cameras for the past 7 years. Rochester looking at it. We heard from Monroe County Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn. And we also welcome to the program Sergeant Jared Renee from the Grease Police Department. Where, first of all, Sergeant Renee, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Evan. How about yourself?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time on this Tuesday afternoon. Where is Grease when it comes to this conversation? Update our listeners on what your department is doing.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, and I'd just like to say hello to the chief and Councilman Haig. So we purchased 20 body cameras back in June of this past year. And right now we are currently in the testing phase and working out the logistics for the rules and regulations behind using them and our general orders as they relate to the officers kind of going out on patrol with them. So we're in the infancy stages of trying to get them implemented as a department.
In some broad sense, how would you describe the mission of using these cameras? What's the purpose and the potential benefit, Sergeant?
Yeah, you know what? I was listening in earlier, and I think it was the chief that mentioned, I think we're interested in telling the whole story and in becoming transparent as a police department. You know, we've had our bumps in the road as an agency, but I think this is another tool, another way that we can show to the public that we're a department interested in integrity and just putting a good product out there and a good service to the public, and as well as that to rebuild that trust and that that communication between the two. So we're looking at it as advantageous to our department and just another tool in the toolbox.
Sergeant Jared Rene oversees the community service unit for the Greece Police Department. When it comes to the implementation, again, as we've heard from the chief and Gates, and as we look across the country, every department has to figure out what is comfortable and what works. And to some degree, there's probably just an acclimation process, right, Sergeant?
Sure.
I mean, just getting used to, as the chief said, turning the cameras on, operating the equipment. Is there a sense that that would take a while, or do you feel like you can get up to speed pretty quickly?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think there will certainly be an acclimation process to it. But I think we're reasonably intelligent around here. We can probably figure it out pretty soon. As far as like the logistics and the actual technology side to it, that we'll leave that to the folks that can teach our command staff on how to download and that type of thing. But as far as just the practical use of them for our officers, I don't think that will take a great deal of training just to show the guys how to use them. But certainly that we'll need to do some of that. And I think we're going to give the officers, as I understand it, complete discretion as to when to use the cameras, when to turn them on, when to turn, at their discretion, during their routine patrols, when they think that it would be necessary to use them. So.
And finally, you mentioned, Sergeant Rene, that, in recent years there were a few bumps in the road in Greece in your department. But I think it's been a while. I mean, I feel like, at least from our standpoint in covering different events, et cetera, that the Greece Department has made a lot of strides in trying to bridge community relationships, to be transparent, to establish trust. And like you say, I know that you feel like this is one more step in that direction. How do you view the community relationship now?
I think we've rebuilt a lot of bridges, and I think we're earning that trust back. And it's incumbent upon our personnel, our patrolmen that go out and do the job on a day-to-day basis. We have an amazing agency here, amazing personnel. The cops, we have some. I would put our cops up against anybody in the country, really, as far as talented police officers, our investigators, our command staff. I mean, our new police chief, Chief Phelan, is amazingly talented. He was an investigator, and I think that's where his heart is. His first jobs around here were in the investigative area. So we rely on our patrolmen on a day-to-day basis to get out there, to make community connections, to reestablish that trust. That's part of why they created my position as community in the community services division to I'm getting out with Neighborhood Watch folks, and we're getting into the schools and our SRO program, and there's just the way as it relates to youth. So. We're doing a lot, and again, the body cameras is just another way that we can reinforce that.
Sergeant Jared Rene from the Greece Police Department, thank you for joining the program and sharing what your department is doing. We appreciate your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. You guys have a great afternoon.
All right, you
thanks
too, Sergeant. Thanks, Sergeant Rene.
You're welcome.
Now, let me also read a few comments that have come in, and I'll kick this one over to Councilman Matt Haig. This comes from the city, from Dale. Hold on a second here. Sorry, guys. Just making sure I've got Evan, good discussion, but you have an all-white panel discussing that is something very, very sensitive in the black community. Right now, trust could be higher. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but there's a sense that cameras won't just protect police. There's a sense they could protect the people, too. It's from Dale in the city. Councilman Haig, what do you think?
I think that's a very good point. I think this is, when I talk about building trust in community, this is based on an understanding that our officers aren't always perfect, and some of them sometimes don't always display the best judgment. But who of us do? None of us are perfect. But when I think your first caller mentioned that this could change behaviors, I view this as it could change behaviors by our officers at times, as well as our citizens. I think the caller is exactly right. In our community, the relationship at times between the police and portions of our community, mm-hmm. especially our community of color, it has not always been the best. And we've seen that. That's not unique to Rochester. That is seen across the country. And I think anything we do, whether that's the partnership that the mayor and the chief are currently working on with members of our faith community being more integrated with the police department and the community, whether that is a more robust citizens on patrol whether that is our school resource officers being better acclimated into our schools or our community policing officers, I think these are one of many things that we can use to build that trust. I think this issue and the issue of cameras and you know, watching what officers are doing and watching what citizens are doing, I think that's a real flashpoint right now because of some of the instances that have happened here and nationally where the judgment of an officer has been called into question. And I think it's important for us to recognize that at times our officers across the country, they don't always use the best judgment. But is that a small, very small percentage? Absolutely.
Yeah, and in the case of Michael Brown, for example, I wish there were video because hopefully that would put to bed any question and any strife that we have seen. You know, right or wrong, no matter what happened. And Chief, you're nodding. You agree in that case?
Oh, I'll bet the chief out there wishes they had video of this. It would certainly clear up a lot of issues.
Now, you're in Gates, and Gates is different than Rochester. But how do you view the impact of police cameras potentially impacting police-community relations and police-minority relations?
You know, it's a great win-win tool for all of us. You know, you have to understand the culture of police work. You know, this is real-life stuff that goes on, and police work isn't always black and white. You know, there's a lot of gray areas, and sometimes police work can be ugly. There's no question about it. When you have to go hands on hands with somebody, you know, we've all seen the videos, but that's real life. And so to have the video of it, whether it's a minority, a female, you know, it's just a great tool to protect everybody's interests.
Let me grab a call. This is Tim in Pittsford. Tim, go ahead. Thanks for calling Connections.
Hey, Evan, I say bring these cameras on, and for a couple of reasons. The amount of complaints in the city against police officers, I've heard the numbers. It is a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of complaints compared to the tens of thousands of calls that they get. Let's remember that they're not going out there because people are calling them to say, hey, why don't you join me for dinner? They're going out there because something is obviously not good. And, you know, you hear from some people, some so-called leaders in our community, who say that police need to be more accountable. Wait till they see these videos that are going to be released. And wait till they see the people that they speak for or represent and how they're acting. So I think they got to be careful what they wish for here. And I think more people need to be careful about what they say about cops and, you know, their accountability and all this, making it seem like they're going out there recklessly and, you know, there's some bad cops and all this and all that. I don't get it. You know, some of these communities are just, I mean, I work in the Northeast almost every day, and that is just a nightmare working there. And for these cops to even go in those houses, those communities every day, I give them a ton of credit for, because most people probably listening right now either haven't been in those areas or wouldn't, if you had a gun to their head, would never go into those areas. And so I would be interested to see these videos and what especially our good Reverend Stewart says after he sees some of his bad actors on these.
Well, thanks for the call, Tim. First of all, Chief Van Brederode, you want to respond at all to that?
Clearly there's going to be some interesting tapes that come out of this, no doubt about it. Because, again, like I've said, I don't think the average citizen has any clue what we deal with every day. You know, it's one thing to get up every morning and watch the news and you see, oh, there was a murder last night or this happened last night. But to be there in real life and deal with the emotions that run high at these crime scenes or any of these scenes that we go to, I think it's going to shed a whole new light on what exactly we're up against and the stress, the incredible amount of stress that we're under and decisions that have to get made. And, you know, one thing about police work, it's very controversial. For every situation I go to, one person will be happy and the other person won't be happy what just happened. And but that's the real life of this job, and to be able to show it, I think can only benefit all of us.
Pastor Marlo Washington was on this program, and he had very warm words for the Rochester Police Department. He had some very strong words about the importance of building good relations. And Tim in Pittsburgh just mentioned Reverend Stewart, who has had more stern and tougher words for police, and some would say somewhat incendiary. And look, Councilman Haig, everyone's got a different viewpoint, but do you think that there is a detriment to our community when some take the stance that police are inherently oppositional?
Well, you know, I do think there is an inherent danger because it further erodes our community police relationships and partnerships. I think we have to be prepared as elected officials and civic leaders to take criticism, to listen to truth, and to work to change that. But I also think leaders in our community also have a responsibility to be truthful in their words and to be responsible in their actions, because that doesn't do anything to benefit our community. You know, just a few days ago, we released information about the clearance rate in the city this year of our murder investigations, some of the highest in many years as a percentage of that clearance. Part of that is obviously the great work that our officers and our investigators are doing to solve those cases, but they are also working and relying on evidence that is provided by citizens and witnesses to those crimes. We need that partnership. That is why I look at body cameras and a whole host of other things as just one tool. It's not a panacea. Nobody should ever believe I've yet to find the cure to every problem. It doesn't exist. But if we can use this as one additional tool to dispel myth, whether it's bad behavior by officers or bad behavior or to prove bad behavior by citizens in situations, you know, I think this is just one more way to strengthen the relationship that we have with our community that we've got to admit is not the best it can be.
Every department is different. The conditions in every community are different. Every department's got a different history. But a listener pointed me to a study highlighted by the New York Times out of Rialto, California, where the Rialto, California Police Department studied the impact of police body cameras. And now I'm quoting from the New York Times, quote, results from the first 12 months are striking. Even with only half of the 54 uniformed patrol officers wearing cameras at any given time, the department overall had an 88% decline in the number of complaints filed against officers compared with the 12 months before the study, to 3 complaints in a year, down from 24. Rialto's police officers also used force nearly 60% less often, in 25 instances compared with 61. When force was used, it was twice as likely to have been applied by the officers who were not wearing cameras during that shift, the study found. And lest skeptics think that the officers with cameras are selective about which encounters they record, the study notes that those officers who apply force while wearing a camera have always captured the incident on video and did not self-edit. As small as the cameras are, they seem to be noticeable to civilians. When you look at an officer, it kind of sticks out, one man remarked. Citizens have sometimes asked officers, hey, are you wearing a camera? And the officers always say they are, he reported. So that's one department. And I'm not saying that applies to every department, because some people will look at this and say, oh, see, police are using less force, therefore police are using force far too often. Others will say, look, there's less complaints filed because citizens know they can't get away with a false complaint. I don't know what the answer is, but this is just one study. What do you make of it, Chief?
You know, we haven't seen any of those numbers in our department. Pretty much things have been status quo since we've gotten the cameras. You know, the use of forces are pretty much the same. It's just nice to have it on video now, exactly what we did. In case there is a complaint that comes out of it. You know, again, this is one city, and I'm not sure what the cause or effect is of all that.
But, yeah, and it sounds like they were much more public about the fact that there was more of sort of a public announcement that the police would be using them, that citizens were aware of it, and that it's always hard to know what factors impact an interaction. It may not be apples to apples here, because you're saying in Gates in 7 years, you haven't really noticed a difference in terms of police behavior, arrests, complaints, use of force.
You know, I can tell you one thing. In Gates, anyway, in 7 years, we've never had an officer on video doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. I can put that right out there. And again, I think Monroe County, we're very professional in our law enforcement training and the people that we hire here. All the departments in Monroe County have some great officers. I don't see these being too much of an issue.
Let me grab a call. This is Andrew in Pittsburgh. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that, like, I mean, I see police officers like any other type of person. You know, I think a lot of times they can be kind of shown as bad guys, but I see it that, you know, like any other person, any other job, there's some really great police officers, and I'm sure there's some police officers that act not so great. And I also wanted to, you know, say that I believe when a police officer discharges his weapon and happens to kill a suspect, they have to go through an internal homicide investigation. So it's, you know, I think some people have the idea that police officers just go around firing off their weapon and there's kind of no backlash or anything like that. And I think there's a lot more to it than that. And to just assume that police officers are inherently bad, I think is to assume that a lot of other people in a lot of other places are inherently bad. So I don't know. I think it would help this situation. And granted, I'm not living in these areas where there's high crime and things like that. But just from my point of view, you know, I think maybe if people had a more centered take on the issue, that maybe we could get some more issues resolved. So I just wanted to take my question.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that, Chief. I think Chief agrees that police officers are not all inherently bad, but I think the premise is I don't think most people do. What do you make of what Andrew's saying, Chief?
Well, you know, I also did 3 years in the City of Rochester Police Department back in the early 90s, and, you know, I really believe in my heart that, you know, 95% of the public in Monroe County knows who the good guys are and support the police. And again, we go back to this whole idea of perception, and, you know, you got a small percentage of people that get on the news weekly, you know, and say stuff about the police. But, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know. And so, but I think at the end of the day, 95% of the people support their local police, support the police here in Monroe County. And, you know, and the cops are doing a pretty good job.
And support the police, because the police do important work. It can be dangerous work. And support, by the way, don't you think, Chief, means that in the unlikely event that an officer does behave poorly, we are going to be honest about that, we'll confront it, we'll deal with it, and we'll move forward? That's part of support, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's clearly been demonstrated here in Monroe County between our district attorney's office, Andrew Dorley, and all the different police chiefs that run the departments here, that, you know what, when we've had a bad apple, we've addressed it, we've prosecuted it to the extent of the law. And that builds trust, too, within the community.
Councilman Haig, last word on where Rochester stands. Remind our listeners what you expect going forward.
Yeah, I would imagine over the next few weeks and months, we'll continue to look at information from our neighbors in Gates to as far away as people in Rialto and Los Angeles, California, and to come up with some recommendations likely from the department on how we'll proceed on this as an issue. I think... you know, there's some great local examples. I think it's good to hear that Greece is piloting this program. I think it's good to hear the Monroe Sheriff's Office is piloting it. I think those seem like reasonable approaches to this. And again, it seems to me that we have some questions to answer, and we'll go from there.
Well, Chief Jim Van Brederode from the Gates Police Department, you didn't know 7 years ago you'd be the leader in a conversation about this, but thank you for sharing what your department has seen and for sharing an hour of your day with us. We appreciate that, sir.
Thank you, Evan, for the invitation to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And Councilman Matt Haig, who's always on the move, it's great to pin you down for an hour as well, sir. Thank you.
Good to sit down.
Our thanks to Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn from Monroe County and Sergeant Jared Renee from the Greece Police Department, their Community Services Unit. Good discussion this hour, and thanks to you. Brief break and more right here on Member Supported Public Radio.